Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast.
Oh, you're hamming it.
You want to bet? You want to fucking bet?
You weren't talking like that a minute ago.
I was.
No, he was.
I was.
Really?
I was just watching my words. So, yes, welcome to the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Jacob's not here yet, but Aki's here. And because I have supreme mouth pain, Purnell's hanging out. Purnell, how are you doing?
I have supreme butt pain, but not to be confused. I think I can prefer mine over your situation right now, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I have no teeth.
My God, because he's got no teeth.
And the dentures they gave me, there's like a bone shard sticking out that they can't remove until next week, so even wear my dentures.
That's actually interesting for me to hear. Like, I assume they just ran in and individually yanked each tooth out. How in the hell, after removing every tooth, is there extra bone just kind of flailing there?
Because teeth don't just slide out. They're, like, attached. They're so rooted. Your jawbone gets cracked and shit.
Oh, that's what it was. Jawbone cracked. Okay, yeah, because usually, I guess now I think about it, every tooth I've ever had pulled is usually already on its way out. So they just shake. But your case...
So, yeah, I sound like this until further notice. SML, so much lisping.
Trying so hard not to laugh, but it's not working very well, clearly.
Aki, how are you doing? What are your thoughts on this situation?
I'm totally not laughing. Totally.
I'm not laughing with you, I'm laughing at you.
Yeah, very much so. But at least I can admit it.
I'm doing both, because on one hand, it's fucking hilarious. But on the other hand, I also know that he was in a lot of pain, you know, before the teeth came out. And while he's probably not comfortable now, this is progress, if people can believe that.
Oh, so, to make the show even better, I took 2 Percocet right before it.
And a party. Just don't tell anybody.
So.
Just don't tell anybody you got Percocet. They'll be asking you, like, yo, man, let me buy a pill off you. My doctor won't prescribe it. My back really hurts, you know?
Yeah, we're going to see how things go as the show progresses. I can't. Oh, Jacob Garner joined. Holy shit. There he is.
Boo.
Took you long enough. Were you pooping?
No, I was putting my kids to bed.
Is your video on?
What did I say?
I think so.
He's being a family man, I told you.
Yeah, your video's on. I can see That's your stupid weird. Face.
Huh. You're
teasing him about this episode tonight, but this is probably the first episode where he's like, well, yeah, but I have teeth, so.
That's true. None of mine have had to be removed, so, you know.
Hey, I still have 6 on the bottom.
You may be punctual, but I've got a mouthful of teeth.
Yeah.
So. Back.
He has a mouthful of something else,
Joe
too.
Joe still has balls, so I'm just saying.
Oh, damn.
I have balls, too. If you like to, I can slap them across your face.
Chris Huber is the one who only had one. So.
Wait, he really did?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
He still does only have one.
I assume they don't have, you know, testicle implants. I'm waiting for a donor.
Yeah, so Jacob, how's your week been?
I mean, it's been okay, I guess. Nothing that exciting.
Nah, nothing.
Nah.
I'm trying to make conversation with you assholes. It seems like we're just going to get into the news. I can't even say news.
You just said nudes.
Fuck yeah.
We're going to get into the nudes.
And it's really just the S's that I'm having trouble with. Like, when I'm not working on word that have... S.
You know, Joe, I never thought that you could sound any less sexually appealing, but
yeah, baby.
Yikes.
Yeah. Joe says she sells seashells by the seashore. The shells she sells are surely seashells. So she sells shells on the seashore. I'm sure she sells seashore shells.
You just said the same
thing. There you go. Hey, that's what Root Beer wanted to hear. So yeah, should we get to the news?
Joe's over here like, left teeth means more sexual pleasure.
Oh.
Let's get to the nudes. Come on.
I'm actually disappointed Jacob didn't make a gum job joke yet.
Not that's yet.
God, jerking around.
Yeah, just like me.
Aki's probably in tears crying at my voice.
No. Not anymore. I've mostly gotten over it at this point.
It's out of your system?
Yeah, for the most part.
Cool. Well, you know what's going to be in your system? Game Pass games.
Maybe, if I ever get time to play them.
How soon till you get your artificial teeth?
I don't know.
Or your dentures?
Well, I have an appointment next week to get the... Like, I have a bone that's pointy that I got to get shaved down for the top dentures. And then we'll see what's going on.
You got to get a mortar and pestle to just grind your food and then just, like, slurp it in the meantime.
He's just going to have smoothies all week. It's just, like... Just gonna ground up like a ham.
That's it. Ham, I mean, smoothie.
That's just a thing, as far as I'm concerned.
That's just what?
That's just a fish and eating.
I mean, fair. I guess.
All right. So yeah, Game Pass. We gotta talk about Game Pass.
Jesus.
What about Game Pass?
I really hope I could get used to your voice by the end of this episode.
You're not going to. That's the best part. Available now on Game Pass, F1 2021 and Need for Speed Hot Pursuit both joined Cloud Play, so that's good.
Is it the old Hot Pursuit remastered?
No, it's the remastered one.
Cool.
It was good. I mean, I found the flashing lights of the police cars to be really distracting. Like, you know, like when I reviewed it, I actually put out a warning for our listeners who might have epilepsy on this one, because it was like, holy shit. You run into a tunnel and it was like insane. Damn. Yeah, it was bad.
I wouldn't have expected that, but damn.
Well, now it's on Cloud Play. Yay! And then also joining Game Pass, Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, launched to Xbox Game Pass. That, yeah, buddy.
Pretty cute.
What a hero.
Did you play that one?
Based on,
I have not played it yet.
I thought it was Tim that got it, because I thought I had requested it, but I thought
so
Tim
did got I. First.
Everybody wanted that game.
Yeah, I wanted to play it just basis of name alone.
I think that's why everyone wanted to play it.
Oh, no, I had watched trailers for it, because I'm competent.
No, you're not. And also, that's like the first time you've ever done research on anything.
No, I always, any game that's ever talked about that I have interest in, I look up immediately.
Does this game have boobies?
You're like, no, I do.
Well, sometimes,
nudity?
Yes, I am.
No,
if there is boobies in games, yes, I do. I'm not going to lie. Babies are fantastic. And
boobies are fantastic.
Them. See, I mean, there you go. Some of us have a weakness of quirky titles. Some of us have a weakness of boobies. It's perfect.
Why not both?
There is no such thing as a weakness for boobies or two boobies.
That is totally a weakness. It's just unfortunate. No,
that's not a weakness. That is a strength. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, no. I mean, I like them at all, but hey, getting hit over the head with a shovel because you were raised by some titans, that is not a strength.
What the fuck is this show going to tonight?
Well, I mean, Purnell's here, so it means tangents.
Yeah, true.
It's your own fault, Joe.
April 26th, we're getting 7 Days to Die.
That was good.
Okay. I mean, I think everyone got that with Games with Gold forever ago, but...
But, well, it's joining Game Pass, and then Research and Destroy is launching onto Game Pass.
Research and... I don't know that
makes sense, because I do have that game, and I didn't know how I got it. You just answered that perfectly.
You know, on the plus side, this is going to be episode 770, but I really wish it had been episode 777 just so we could hear Joe going, "This is SNL episode 777.
Well, maybe episode 7.
I don't sigh like you.
You see, the secret, Jake, is the title of the episode 7.
Oh, the episode's going to be like Toothless Joe and his friends or some shit.
Bold of you to assume you have friends.
Toothless Joe and the Country Gang.
like cartoon, like eye catch or something like Toothless Joe and his sort of friends hanging out until the end.
Oh, Joe. Man, I wish I had an artist on the show who could draw something. Oh, well. April 28th, we are getting Unsold directly to launch to Game Pass. And Bug Snacks.
Woo-hoo! What is that? What the hell is that exactly? I remember that was on PlayStation, and I had no idea what the fuck it was. And now it's coming to Xbox, so I don't know what the fuck it is.
It's on Switch, it's too.
I still don't know what the fuck it is.
At least you hooked up your Xbox, so you'll be able to play it one day.
It only took me a month. That's par for the course with me, you know that.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not all good news. There are some games leaving Game Pass on the 30th. We're losing Cricket 19. That is a hard loss, I know.
They're so adorable.
Well, that's why Cricket 22 just joined.
Yeah. More chirping, more action.
Three more crickets. Outlast 2 is leaving, Secret Neighbor is leaving, and Streets of Rage 4 are leaving. Every fucking game has S's in it. What the fuck?
That's perfect.
Cricket. I could say cricket. Cricket is normal. Cricket. There you go.
Or spricket.
Whenever there's a goddamn S.
On the plus side, if there's like a, if some theater troupe is trying to do Music Man, you could be the little kid now. So.
Oh, God. In the coming months, in the next month or two, Assassin's Creed Origins will be hitting Game Pass, and For Honor will be upgrading to the Marching Fire Edition.
Cool, you know, one of those.
You know, Purnell asked what Bug Snacks is about, and nobody ever answered him.
That's kind of the point. You're not supposed to just play it and enjoy it.
You like, just
go
to play.
Go in not knowing. It's better if you don't know.
Yeah, but then I play it and I die in 7 days, and that's my own fault for not researching it first.
Wait, you die in 7 days?
You could. I don't know. I mean, I've seen The Ring. Could be the game version of The Ring. Bug Snacks, you become the snack for the bug.
Oh, God. Speaking of rings, Sonic Spinball is coming to Nintendo Switch Online.
What game's coming to Nintendo Switch Online?
Sonic Spinball.
I couldn't hear it one more time.
Sonic Spinball.
There we go.
And Shining Force and Space Harrier 2.
Great.
All to Nintendo Switch Online.
That was 100.
I can't wait for the view number on this episode. I hope it reaches the 60s.
Oh my God.
Surprising news, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is no longer releasing in September. It's coming in July 29th.
The rare time where I wish
that's game crazy. Late.
It's like, hey, I need more time to play this shit.
And is it facing off against like some Digimon title or something like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they brought it forward because it was already mostly done and they just didn't want it going against the other stuff that was coming out right around then. So they just made it earlier.
Yeah.
Digimon survived, so five. Just me, we're talking about. I'll get them both, so shit. I won't have time to play Xenoblade 3 because I never played Xenoblade 1 and I never played through Xenoblade 2 and I never played through Xenoblade X. So, yeah.
X is the only one I want to play because it has giant mechs in it.
One thing I remember about that, it's been a long time, but I remember when it came out, people were complaining about the fact that the mechs were like on the cover, but you don't even get inside of a mech for like 40 hours.
Oh, that makes me sad. I didn't know that.
It's a Xenoblade game, so it shouldn't be that much of a surprise. Those fucking
I've never played Xenoblade. I thought you do your research,
Aki.
Research I did on that game was like over a decade ago or something.
It's been a long fucking time.
Yes, there are boobs in
Xenoblade. Xenoblade has boobies.
Yeah, but there's nips.
There you go. There's Aki's research.
Beat boobums.
Some news for you, Jacob. Current rumors suggest Sega is working on a big budget version of Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, I'm hesitantly looking forward to this
because of the bad news where the report states they're looking at a Fortnite business model.
Yep. And it's probably going to be tied into NFTs somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a way to fuck up some excitement.
Like, and the best part is like Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio are like Sega's most punk, like anti-capitalist series. And yeah. And then they're just going to toss all of the capitalism at both of them.
I'm saying, why can't they just do a 4K remake with original soundtracks? No shit. That's all they got to do. Well, they could add more songs to Crazy Taxi. We could use more than 9 songs.
No, I just want just play the entire game.
The new Lego Star Wars actually has a Crazy Taxi reference in it. On Coruscant, there's a side mission where you have to recover a taxi. And then
is it
the taxi
crazy? Driver,
what's up?
Is the taxi crazy?
Well, once you recover it, the taxi driver hops back in and he's like, I'm going to make crazy money. Yeah. And then drives off.
Nice. Want to hear an impressive stat?
The size of how full my Switch game card is right
now. On April 12th, Babylon's Fall. You know that game, Square's new big game with Platinum?
Yeah, the newest failure in a long stream of failures, yeah.
On April 12th, they had 8 players on Steam concurrently.
But frankly, they're 8. Lucky they had that many.
This is a game with an all-time peak player level of 1,166.
I wonder if is that the record for lowest player base in an MMO?
No, it's not an MMO.
Like online multiplayer regardless. Big budget.
Shit. Yeah, it's got to be up there. I think Balan Wonderland did better.
Oh, God.
Damn. Well, I mean, Yuji Naka.
That's harsh.
Game that ruined Yuji Naka's game.
But
there's probably more people. In fact, there are more people playing Call of Duty on the Wii U than than playing Babylon Falls.
Oh shit, we just got a raid with 19 viewers. Y'all are in for a surprise.
We're talking about Balan Wonderworld.
We are.
Just the right time.
And Joe has no teeth.
I have no teeth for the foreseeable future. Yeah. It's fun. It's really fun.
This is Gummy Joe.
Look, nothing there. No teeth.
Check him out on his OnlyFans later on.
Yeah. Gum jobs for everybody. Current rumors suggest that an official Game Boy Advance emulator for the Switch has been unveiled and leaked. Pernell, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm still not going to play it. I'm not buying that expanded pass bullshit. It's like, hey, I own all these games because I've been supporting Nintendo for decades. What do you do? Oh, you want me to buy an extended service to play the same fucking games I've got in my kitchen, in my living room, in my game room right now? Yay, bite me.
Wait, you keep games in your kitchen?
Hey, sometimes I want to play while the stew's simmering, okay? I mean
that's fair, but I mean, like, couldn't you go off to another room?
No time for that. I got to play now.
I can't really fault you on that logic.
That's right, you can't. It's prime logic. You can't fault it. It works. But, like, that's the thing that killed me. It's like, I have mixed vibes sometimes, because I get there's that group of people who weren't around at the time. The people who will say, wow, you're old enough to be around when the Game Boy Advance came out, and then you cry. But
my back
hurts. Or after you take your ibuprofen.
Oh, definitely before. But it ends up being a case where it's like, I get it. Those people want to hear about these games. They never had access to them, and they don't do the meal. They don't bargain bin or garage sale hop. So this is an option for them to play, you know, I guess, Nintendo certified hits, because let's be real, they're not going to put a quarter of the damn real game systems hits on it. So I'm like, okay, they can access this. But for people like me who have been around the block with this company, it's like, why would I just throw that money away? And sure, someone's going to say, what about the people who sold all their games, you know, for like a fraction of the cost just to buy the next big thing? Like, well, I know how that goes, except I don't fucking do that. And then I'm not going to give them more money to replay.
What are we talking about?
I don't remember.
Oh, you shut up. You asked me the question.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I understand. I'm talking about
Nintendo Switch Online.
So as it turns out, like the SNL podcast is the Christmas Carol. Purnell is Ebenezer Scrooge hoarding over his three rooms of video games. And we're supposed to, I believe, change his mind and tell him that the Nintendo Switch Online expansion thing is a good thing for all the gamers, and he'll learn the true meaning of Christmas or something.
I'd say it's eh. It's eh.
The true like, meaning of Christmas like, is eh?
No, the... Well, yeah. it's consumerist, meh, but so is everything Nintendo does. After all, they are very keen to sell you the same game like 8 times if they can.
Yeah.
So... This isn't particularly...
The thing is, they're not really selling you the game this time. They're just selling you a subscription to play the games.
Yeah, now they're selling you. Now they're selling you access to a game that you probably have already bought digitally, and therefore
twice
should have
on
access.
The Wii, and then again on the Wii U. All right, maybe on the 3DS as well.
All right, whoa. If you bought that on the Wii U, that is your fault.
What on the Wii U? I like the Wii U. First of all, it's a good system that everybody else hated.
I'm still focused on the fact that people keep buying the same fucking Pokemon game like 8 fucking times.
Are you talking about like the rebrandings or just like Pokemon in it?
No, the rebranding where they make 2 of the exact same game, but they slightly change what Pokemon in it, and then later on they resell those same 2 games
with the new Pokemon.
They add like a back chapter or something.
They add fucking nothing to it, really. And people still buy all fucking 4 of them. That is why Nintendo does everything Nintendo does, because Nintendo fans are fucking stupid.
Surprisingly, they finally got off of that, though. Now they're doing they actually DLC'd the last Pokemon game, which is something they should have been doing when DLC was the first.
They put DLC in Arceus?
No, not Arceus and Sword and Shield. Arceus, I think, is a. I think they are. They did announce they're going to do DLC, though. But
it's
they haven't
a miracle. But I'll be excited when they finally decide to put the Pokemon games, redo all of them, and put them on Steam as one game where you can visit literally everywhere.
That I'll drop Pokemon on Steam. Are you fucking crazy?
I get the back of Steam, but as far as like visiting multiple regions in one game, people have been complaining and clamoring for that for years. But the problem
it'll never happen. I still want it to
produce a product where people will be like, this is the best Pokemon game I've played in ages. I love this feature, and this feature is great too. Give me more of that, Nintendo or Game Freak. And then the next game will come out like, we took those features out and exchanged it with Cuddle Force. What?
Cuddle Force. Yeah, that is very much exactly shit they do too. Oh god.
Did you say Cuddle Force?
Say Cuddle Force.
Rupert's saying Aki is lucky Chris isn't here.
It's like, I mean,
things why?
I mean, Rupert has a point that the expansion pass is getting to be more worth it with the Genesis games, the N64 games. It has the Mario Kart DLC included. It has the Animal Crossing DLC included. They just added Splatoon DLC to it.
And that's just that part, though. Maybe the DLCs will be the thing that gets like the non-focusing. Because I got to remember, and I do remember, that I'm the minority in this case, not just because I'm black, but also because I own a lot of games.
You're black? What?
I know, it's a shame.
And I met you.
Shut up, you. I wager the majority of Nintendo's fans don't have a massive back catalog, even though it's easy to believe they do, because the people whose faces are in gaming are the ones like, I have 100,000 games because I never get rid of anything. So, for those folks, this is 100% value, because a lot of their hits are accessible to play, you know, a la carte on the console. That's fine. It's just not a Pern product. That's it.
What were you saying about Jacob?
Oh, I yawned.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry. The kids were up a lot last night, so.
I thought you were just yawning at Purnell going on.
No. Honestly, I could listen to Purnell's like rants for like hours.
See, because Jacob's a good person. Joe, take notes, fucker.
I'm a piece of shit.
Actually, it's because Purnell changes subjects like every 5 minutes, so it's always entertaining to see where the tangent will go.
Have waffles to be appreciated.
Oh my god!
You have waffles to be appreciated.
What? Who?
I don't. What did you just say? It sounded like you said I have waffles to be appreciated.
Well, I do technically, but I didn't say that. I was just saying I always wanted to be appreciated.
Now we've appreciated you for like 5 minutes at least.
Wait, for minutes.
Yeah. Over what? How many years has it been?
Too.
It adds up. Really. It adds up. We're probably close to like 10 minutes.
I know. I don't know, man. You're being too generous.
Joe, I'm glad you last 10 minutes now. I'm glad you've really been working on that.
Oh, God. Anyway, Klonoa is coming back. Klonoa Fantasy Reverie Series is going to be releasing July 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC. So, Klonoa is back. I'm super excited about that.
Many which Xbox consoles is it going to be on?
Shut the fuck up. All of them.
Oh, it's going to be on the original Xbox?
Shut the fuck up.
How about Xbox 360? Will it be on that one too?
I'm
going to
stab you. I think we went over this last week, but No More Heroes 3 is coming to Xbox and PlayStation later this year.
I'm excited.
Yes.
I just wish that they'd release the other ones too.
Released who?
Released the other No More Heroes.
Oh.
Like 1, 2, and Travis Strikes Back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did Rupier say?
Rupier said the average Switch owner has 35 games, and most of them are first party, like Mario Kart, Smash, Animal Crossing, Zelda. Yeah, the staples.
Is that a statistic that Rupier found, or is it just a statement?
I'm guessing it's a statistic they found.
Am I reading that?
Anyway, last bit of news I have is that an all-new Tales from the Borderlands is going to be coming in 2022 from Gearbox and 2K.
I never got to play around with the first game, but I heard it was entertaining.
There's a lot of people who say that the Tales was like the best Borderlands game.
Yeah, because it's like it basically is all about the narrative without having to fill it with like just collecting guns.
I still haven't played Tiny Tina's Wonderland yet.
I have it that's what I bought with my Xbox, so I'll end up playing that eventually. Hoping to play with my friend Matt. I was like, hey, it'll be an excuse to hook this thing up. I'll get it. And then I'll play Elden Ring instead.
There you go. How are you doing in Elden Ring? We should probably talk about that, right?
Not really.
Elden Ring alert?
Nope, there's no Elden Ring alert. I haven't played that much. I'm doing everything else lately.
Not
drop it for the next hotness. I want to play the damn game. It's good.
Well, that's the news I have. Jacob, what news you got?
So Ubisoft took off shut down the servers for some of their games. Although some of them are back up. They were saying that they took some of them offline for short maintenance and they restored the services. So specifically Assassin's Creed 2, 3, Brotherhood, Driver San Francisco, Far Cry 3, Silent Hunter 5, Splinter Cell Blacklist, and something called Anno 2070.
Mm.
Not familiar with it. Those games were restored. However, I don't know if that list is complete because Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag was also down. The other titles included Beyond Good and Evil, Blazing Angels 2, Just Dance Kids 2014, Rabbids Alive and Kicking, and Smurfs 2. All of these were the Xbox 360 titles or versions. So,
not Smurfs 2.
Well, that one, the achievements aren't affected by any server closures.
Of course, that's what matters.
Right.
Where's Carnage? Talking about achievements and Carnage isn't here.
But yeah, so Also, Assassin's Creed Revelations was also on that list. So it appears that the servers are back up. So if you wanted to get the online achievements for those, you should probably go off and do that now before Ubisoft actually turns off the servers.
Yeah. So, yay for sunsetting servers.
Woo.
What else you got?
Sonic 2 movie watch.
What? How? How is there more Sonic 2 movie news?
Because movie theater exclusive posters have been released. So if you go see that at AMC, Cinemark, etc., you might be able to get your hands on some exclusive posters.
What you're telling me is it was good that I waited till now to finally go see it.
Well, see, the weird thing is that it's like if you went opening weekend, there was also an exclusive poster for that. And then, like, which we didn't get because we went on Thursday, not Friday. So it's like that kind of sucks, but whatever. I know the kids would have destroyed their posters anyway.
I hate my life.
Don't worry, Sonic will cheer you up.
Oh, yeah. No, speaking of Sonic.
God damn it.
Yeah, the Sonic Origins collection.
Oh, yeah, there's a fecal storm about this one.
Wait, there was?
A shit storm.
A fecal storm.
Joe just doesn't want to have to pronounce his S's. I'm
trying, man. I'm trying.
So, what happened is Sega sounds announced stupid. It and then showed off this diagram that shows what happens if you pre-order versus regular, and then there's also a digital deluxe edition for another $5. But if you pre-order the game, of course you get everything. But if you don't, then there's like extra DLC that you can buy, which is like a mirror mode, animated screens, extra music.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous what they're doing with the whole pre-order and.
Oh, and also you can play it in a widescreen format.
Wait, that's DLC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
And also, it's not clear yet whether this is stuff that it comes with and you just unlock later, or if it's stuff that you would actually, like, have to pay for, period, dot.
No.
Sad.
Did you see Devolver, their reply to the whole news?
Yeah, for that upcoming game that I want to check out.
Yeah, Trek to Yomi.
Yeah, they made fun of the poster and was just like, yes, you get everything when it comes out. Like,
for all the versions and all the... I love it. All right, what other news?
That's all the news I got.
All right, Pernell, what kind of news do you got?
Well, I'm still looking for nudes right now. I've been a little slow on the thing, but I'll find them, damn it.
Pernell's hanging dong over there.
And how?
Aki, are you hanging dong?
Sure.
What news do you have, Aki?
I had some, but I forgot it after listening to all that shit this entire fucking time. I don't remember what it was. I had one piece, just one, and now it's fucking gone. I have no idea.
Speaking of Sonic.
Oh, God damn it.
Sonic's okay.
No, it's not.
Well, I gotta ask. Yeah, I know.
You like the movie. You're gonna go see the second one.
I'd never heard that, though. What do you dislike about Sonic?
He's annoying.
He doesn't talk in old games.
Well, the games are okay because he shuts the fuck up. Everything that isn't a game sucks because he doesn't shut the fuck up.
That poor hedgehog.
Like Jacob.
Friend.
I shut up plenty of times.
Stop talking.
No. Well, he can't stop talking because if we're doing reviews, he's up first.
God damn it.
Or Pernell, I thought you had news.
I have news. I'm looking for them.
You're looking for
news. The only news I've got is I just spent the last of my Nintendo bucks on my Switch, and I don't know if I want to replenish them anymore because I'm out of space.
What?
Well, get what more fucking space. Problem solved.
How? You can't.
Very hard.
I maxed it.
Get another one.
You can't. I don't want to do the whole card switching thing. That's what happened with the freaking Vita, and that thing bonked.
Yeah. How big is your card? 1 terabyte?
1 terabyte.
That is ridiculous. How much did that fucker run you?
I got it during the stimulus check, so it was like $250 at the time.
Damn.
It was like, hey, it's a treat to myself, and I'll take the rest and invest it. So I was okay with that.
Hey, I'm the one
you invested in.
Honestly, just S&P 500.
Oh, I was hoping we were going to say like hookers and blow, but
responsible-ish.
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah, I mean, I literally just said I bought a 1 terabyte card for my Switch, so I couldn't be fully.
That's...
Well, wait until you need more memory on the Xbox, too.
I've heard that you got to get like a freaking dock or something.
No, just a memory card.
Yeah, you have to dock your Xbox 360.
What's the thing I saw on the news where it was like, not the news, but in the website where it's like you connected by USB or it's a special slot in the back, but it's like a dock that you have to put a drive into.
No, there's just a slot in the back that the memory card goes into.
It just plugs in over it. And,
shut up, Jacob. I'm trying to explain something.
Hello.
Yeah, it's just I'll send you a picture of one. It's just like a tiny little memory card and it plugs into the system. And so you instantly have more storage.
He's gonna share photos of his tiny little memory card with you.
Well, honestly, it's gotta be long enough to crack the shell or anything. That's what I'm looking forward to with the PlayStation eventually. Okay. Remove the casing or whatever.
Yeah, I want to upgrade my storage on PlayStation, but I don't want to open it.
That's how they get you. But now I gotta look through my data on my Switch to determine games I can delete, because
go into yours. Like, what are the biggest games you have on your Switch?
That my might dick. Be is checking for free space.
Aki, do you remember what your news is yet?
No, I gave up on that.
You've surely got news, at least about Sonic, or maybe Mario.
No, I don't really particularly care about either of those mascots.
Here we go. It finally came up. So, on my system, I think it's already sorted by most space. Ease 8 is peaking it at 14.7 gigs. Then Disaster Report 4 for 14.6. Darksiders 2, 14.2. Hatsune Miku at 13.9. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered. God, that name sucks. 13.8.
I'm more surprised that the biggest one you have is only 14.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, honestly. For a while, Payday 2 was my biggest one, and that's at 9.8.
Damn.
Payday 2 sucks.
Aki, you hate everything.
I don't hate everything. I like plenty of things.
I think the only thing you have said this episode so far is that sucks.
No.
That's fucking terrible.
I didn't know what things were too.
Sonic fucking sucks.
No, Jacob. Payday fucking sucks. I don't like Sonic.
Excuse me, I swallow. Thank you very much.
I'd believe it.
Should we get to reviews?
Well, I can't excuse myself for being a champion.
We're never getting reviews, Arby.
No.
No time for reviews because Jacob's a champion.
There's a DMCA strike. All right, let's get to this. First game to talk about tonight is AO the Clown, developed by Cloud M1 and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released April 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. AO the Clown is a side-scrolling action platformer inspired by genre classics, enriched with vibrant 2.5D presentation and imaginative designs. AO's quest will lead him through a wide variety of theme stages, all with collectibles to discover and unique obstacles to overcome. Jacob, tell us what is unique about AO the Clown.
So AO the Clown, you are this like little clown guy, boy thing. I don't know. But yeah, it is standard platforming, and you have to move through these levels. There's these little collectibles that you can get, which help you on your way. And you also have to collect coins to purchase upgrades for yourself. And all the while, you have to it's essentially get from point A to point B. You're going to encounter some monsters, environmental hazards like spikes and, you know, just holes in the ground, that kind of stuff. And you sometimes have to figure out your way to do it, usually by navigating yourself by balloon once you get that ability to do it.
Oh, the friggin' balloon. I was not a fan of the balloon. I'll just say that now.
Otherwise, you have to use the environment around you, and sometimes there's little creatures that you can bounce off of, or creatures that can like harm another one. But all in all, it's a fairly chill game, in my opinion. I know Joe had some trouble with it, and granted, I did too, but I kind of viewed it as standard platforming.
I wouldn't say it's trouble. It's just I hate the physics of the balloon. Like, if you need to go higher, you need to press it at the perfect time to get any kind of height, or you're going to hit the button to float, and you're just going to, like, go straight, and it's not helpful, and you'll hit the wall, and you'll drop down and die.
I did have that issue, too. It took... The controls, honestly, have to be... You have to be a tad precise with it.
And it feels like the ledges are very slippery in this one. Like, I found myself slipping off a lot of balloons easily, like cliffs. It's
you had issues with, like, with that. My issue was honestly, like, just trying to get him to jump up. Because of the art style, there would be, like, these ledges that I thought I'd be clearing, and instead I'm just hitting my head up against, like, the ceiling of... I don't know how you'd even say it, like the bottom of the ledge. And so, like, you know, instead I'm just hitting the ground with my head, instead of, you know, backing up like 1 or 2 feet and then hopping up over it.
No.
It's not always the easiest to navigate. And there is there are tall grass areas which you can find your enemies in, and honestly, like, with the jumping with that, it wasn't always the most precise, and so I'd end up losing, like, 2 hearts while trying to take out one of the little monster guys.
I don't like that you lose your weapon when you get hit, either. Because it's, I mean, like,
you do in Mario.
I know, but, like, games have evolved.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think it's meant to be, like, a modern retro, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it feels like a step backward. Like, if you're having trouble with an area and you're constantly dying and losing your power, like, you should have some, or at least rework the checkpoint so that there's power-ups by the checkpoints. Because I had plenty of checkpoints where I would just be stuck, and it wasn't, I don't know. Visually, I like the game. It's a pretty-looking game. It's cute. It is.
My only other thing with the gameplay, though, is that the upgrades, like, they are expensive as crap.
And yeah,
honestly, I felt like they were too far and in between to really, like, I know that they want you to have a lot of replay value with this game, but it's just like, no, like, make the upgrades cheaper, for the love of God.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not something I'm like, oh, you got to rush out and buy this. This is like game of the year. Like, it's not there, but it's enjoyable for what it is.
Well, it's $20. What are your thoughts?
$20 is a little expensive for my taste on this one. If it was $15, I'd be more comfortable. That being said, I'd at least recommend trying it. If anything, wait for a sale.
Sounds good. Next game is Lit, Bend the Light, developed by Copper Glass, published by Overgames, released April 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $8 even, set in an era when electricity wasn't a thing and nothing but imaginations of great inventors that set the world in motion. Lit tests your own inner engineer and lets you discover the joys of experimenting with light at first hand. Jacob, what's going on in Lit?
So Lit is a puzzle game, and pretty much it is like light is coming down into this cave that each of the puzzles are in, and you have to use a series of mirrors to make the light shine on this like little diamond orb thing, which then powers it up, and then boom, you're done with the level. Now, my explanation for it is rather simplistic, because the thing is that you have mirrors, you have multiple mirrors in each level that not only do you have to move them back and forth, but you can also tilt them. And so this ends up making it so there are some puzzles where, you know, you can kind of fudge it a little bit and it's like whatever. other times you must be like exactly right, otherwise the things won't line up. And of course, it's easy to like, it's easy in your mind to like, okay, well, I just need to point it here, here, and here. But then the process for it isn't exactly as simple. Like the controls are a little iffy. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's, they were a little too sensitive. And so it can get a little frustrating when you're doing the puzzles.
Well, the, hold the X button for,
yeah,
for fine tuning.
I never found it to be particularly comfortable on the Xbox or the Switch, because I got to play on both versions of it. Now, the other thing with it that I thought was interesting is that there are multiple solutions to most of the puzzles, like not so much on the earlier ones, but like later ones. And the game devs actually... you know, tell you, hey, you know, you should really think outside the box. Like, yeah, we have a solution for it, but you know, if you could figure out something else, that's totally cool, right? And there's actually an achievement for that on the Xbox.
There's a couple
version.
Achievements for beating the devs, like beating their all the solutions that they had. There's ones for and finding solutions
that
didn't
they didn't
have,
right? Yeah. Which I thought was real neat.
So the people who like to break games will have a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a pretty chill puzzle game, and it's definitely one of those where it's like, if you finally just hit a wall, like, you know, put the game down, come back to
skip
it in a couple
the level.
Of days.
That's an option. You could skip the level.
Well, all right. Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's even an achievement for skipping a level and going back and beating it.
Yeah, there is that one. But, like, this is definitely one of those games, like, you could just... You know, you don't have to skip stuff. You can honestly just like come back in a day and then you'll, you know, boom, you'll have it figured out.
Yeah.
All in all, you know, I thought it was entertaining. The controls could still use some work, in my opinion, but for $8, you know, it's definitely a buy it. It was enjoyable on both the Xbox and Switch consoles.
Did the Switch have touch controls?
To be honest, I didn't try it because we bought that extra controller for the Switch, the one that's shaped like a normal game controller, so I can actually play games now on the Switch. And so, because I've got huge fucking hands,
so you just
and
play so, docked.
Yeah,
you like docked?
Isn't that the best way to play?
Oh man, yeah, I can agree with a buy it for $8. It's cool. It's stylish. I really like the color palette is just like a muted tan and brown, but it looks really good with the shadows, the way the light bounces off of things. It's cool to see the physics of the light bouncing too. Like every time you readjust to see how far it goes and how many bounces you could get off of it. And $8, I think it's worth picking up.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, Jacob, that's it for you. Get the fuck out of here.
Woo! Don't leave us, Jacob. We need Sonic knowledge, and only you can provide it.
Unfortunately, I don't have any more Sonic stuff that I can use to annoy Aki with.
Oh, gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast. Jacob, do you have any final words before you head out?
Yeah, I don't know. I won't say. I'll let Aki have her word tonight.
See, he does care,
Far
Aki.
From Nugan.
Damn, he doesn't care, Aki.
Oh, shit. All right, next game to talk about is Back 4 Blood Expansion 1 Tunnels of Terror DLC, developed by Turtle Rock Studios, published by Warner Brothers Games, released April 12th for Back 4 Blood for $14.99, included in the annual pass for $39.99. With the launch of Tunnels of Terror, players can explore Ridden Hives. These labyrinthine tunnels promise incredible goods to those that brave its depths, but be warmed. Ridden infest these passageways, and there are new mutated strains that will hunt you down. So many S's. Aki, tell us about Back 4 Blood Tunnels of Terror.
Okay, this DLC has been basically just added into the main game. There isn't like a section where you're like, okay, I just want to play the DLC. No, instead you get these weird pustule growths that appear occasionally. in different levels throughout the game, and then you can go into them, and they are tunnels. Ooh. I know, crazy, right?
Of terror?
Not really. Oh. Well, the whole game is something that should make you piss yourself because it's still ridiculously, like, stupidly hard. matter of fact, they even modified the difficulty of it to make everything easier, and it's still too fucking hard. Big shocker. These people have no fucking chill. So in this area, you're just basically going through the tunnels from point A to point B, just like you do through the levels. At any point, though, there's a ladder that leads out, so you can always get the fuck out, no matter what level you're in. And I think they're all two levels deep. And every level you finish, you get to bypass a level in the main game. So let's say you go into one of these tunnels at 1-1, and you go through the first one, you exit in the first one. Well, now you're on 2-3, or 1-3. If you go through both of them, you're on the level after that. It's very nice. It makes life a little easier. If you're having some troubles with some of the standard levels, you can just go in here, get fucking wrecked, and learn the deal with it. Because you're not having a particularly easier time down here. There's a lot more ridden. There's a number of places where they just kind of infinitely spawn, because fuck you, I guess. it's kind of the name of this entire game to me, but you know, well, whatever.
Fuck you, the game.
Yeah, this is fuck you, the game. Yeah, 100%.
Fuck you.
So, yeah, along with this update, because there's not really much to talk about in this, you can pick up totems while you're down there, which are a new set of points where you can get new cards and shit. Lots of the stuff that you get from that shop is one-use items, which is irritating. But there's also customization pieces and stuff, just like the usual supply lines. It just only uses totems for some reason. And I don't know why they bothered with that, but whatever. Other than that, they've added a new difficulty mode called No Hope. And you already have
No Hope. They made it harder?
Yeah, they made another harder difficulty, yes.
What the hell?
I don't know. I don't know. There are people who have apparently beaten the game on this mode already. I don't know. I don't get it. Because in this, you're when you play the game on, let's just go to the easiest one, because that's really the only one anyone ever really has any hope of ever beating on, is the easiest mode, and most of you aren't going to beat it at that. You get, like, if your whole team is downed, that can happen like 3 or 4 times. And then your campaign is over. You can't keep continuing.
Mm.
On No Hope mode,
one, if your whole team, done.
Yeah, you go down and it's over. You have to restart that bitch all over again.
Damn.
And I believe on No Hope mode, you don't get checkpoints either. So, like,
well, you can't die. Why would you get checkpoints?
Well, no, I mean to start a new campaign. You don't have a checkpoint. Like, on easy, you get one from, like, all of Act 1. There's, you know, this set of 4 levels, then this set of 2 levels, then this set of 2 levels, and then this set of, like, 3 levels or something. Each one of those sets is a checkpoint. You get a checkpoint at the beginning. So if you beat this section and you die in the next one completely and you have to restart a campaign, you can actually start it from that second section instead of replaying the first area all over again.
No Hope mode gives you no hope of beating it.
Nope, so. Not at all.
But yeah, expansion 1 includes all new Ridden Hives PvE activity, two new playable cleaners, I can't say characters, cleaners, 3 new Warped Ridden, 8 exclusive character skins, 12 exclusive weapon skins, 15 new cards, and more. Pernell, did you get to play any Back for Blood last night?
Unfortunately not, because I've been engaged in this nightmare fest of making sense of a messy place. But I actually wanted to ask Aki a little bit more, in the sense of, like, Were you playing it solo or were you playing it multiplayer? Because I'm curious as to how it holds up single player, since that's likely how I'd likely get around to using it more often.
You think you can beat this single player? That's cute.
Damn! I got my answer and it hurts. Yeah,
if you play it in offline mode, you... I don't know if they ever changed this, but originally you wouldn't get any supply points, so you couldn't buy any fucking upgrades, which was bullshit.
What?
I think they changed that, but I don't know if those cards you can buy in offline are also usable online. If you don't find a group to play with, which can happen, you'll get bots, but otherwise you're matching with other people.
So it sounds like a Left 4 Dead scenario where like that
it
game
is Left 4 Dead.
Bots.
That's what this game is. It's Left 4 Dead.
No, it's Back 4 Blood.
Well, it's Left 4 Dead.
It's Back harder. 4 Blood.
Yeah, it's Left 4 Dead. They're Back 4 Blood. They're pissed off at everybody, so they made it hard. That's what this game is.
I remember in that game, if you played with the bots, it was okay on like normal difficulty, but if you went anywhere beyond that, fucking forget it.
Oh yeah, the easiest difficulty in this mode is harder than the hardest difficulty in Left 4 Dead.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You're up at the hard difficulty.
Yes. Yes. I had to get carried by good players to actually beat the campaign on the easiest difficulty. Period. And I haven't even finished all of Act 1 on the next highest difficulty. And I've been working on it for, let's just say, a while. When did it come out? it's been a long time. I still haven't managed. I've gotten close, but I've never managed to actually finish
it. October released.
Of last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It seems like it feels like it's been longer than that. This game really has just warped my sense of time because it just sucks everything away from me. No, you're not beating this without other players, period. And you need good players or else you're not beating this.
So we should try rounding each other up and go through this together sometime.
We'll get through at least Act 1, Part 1-1 to 1-3. We will not beat 1-4.
Cool.
Wait, 1-4? So is there even an Act 2?
Yes. You get it's Act 1-1 to 1-4 is the first section of Act 1. There's like three or four sections of Act 1, and then it goes into the next act or something like that, I think. I can't remember.
You're saying four acts, each with four stages. You're saying...
No, they're not four stages.
Oh.
In fact, I don't even remember if it's 1-1 to 1-4, and then it continues as 1-something else, or if it goes to 2. I can't remember anymore. Because, again, I haven't seen past Act 1 in a long time.
Because it's that hard. But yeah, the DLC is $15. What do you think of it?
I really like it, but they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. Because if anyone you're playing with has the DLC, you can access the DLC and even get achievements in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't actually
have to. I think so. I mean, I can appreciate
it. Own it. So I like the new... Well, I like Charisse, one of the two new characters. I don't care about what was his name? Han? I think it was Han is the guy's name. He's an old Asian dude, and then there's a hot black chick. Obviously, I have my preference already. Yeah. Oh, and she's a firefighter, and she's built, and oof, yummy. Anyways, so, yeah. The characters are great. The game mode's not... It's harder because there's just a lot of enemies in it, but otherwise it's not particularly hard, so I'm totally for it. I think it's a fun little new diversion from having to bang your head into the wall that is the actual legitimate game.
Well, the DLC is $15. Would it be worth getting the annual pass for $40? Or should we wait to see what the other expansions turn out to be?
I'd wait to see what the other expansions are, because if they're all like this, it might be worth it. I would like something a little more substantial to be added, like an extra DLC that's like post-game stuff, something like that, that's actually like a new little mini campaign instead of, oh, here's a new section you can go into that otherwise doesn't do anything.
Well, we'll see what comes out in the future. But
yeah,
Moving on, next game to talk about is Liberated Enhanced Edition, developed by Atomic Wolf. Wow. Developed by Atomic Wolf and L Inc., published by Walkabout Games, released April 20th on Xbox One, Series X, and S, PS4 for $19.99. Liberated is an action-adventure game that unfolds across the pages of a comic book, seamlessly merging the art of hand-drawn graphic novels with interactivity and side-scrolling action. It's a revolutionary combination of video games and comics. Aki, tell us about Liberated.
Okay, I reviewed this once before, back when it came out on the on Steam, just the standard edition, and my thoughts haven't particularly changed. I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun game. I don't really know what they enhanced other than the graphics and stuff. I don't know if they did anything with the story. I don't think they added anything to it or anything.
Two epilogue chapters.
Oh, I thought those were just DLC in the original. I don't know. It
might have been DLC that they just incorporated into everything in this release. But I'm just reading the Liberated Enhanced Edition includes the acclaimed full game with enhancements in gameplay and content, full English voiceovers with immersive voice acting, and two epilogue chapters, For the Homeland and Glory to the Heroes.
Yeah, I think those were DLC. I think it's added all the DLC into one thing.
One
now.
Handy package.
Yeah.
So what is the game? It's been a while since you talked about it, so we should probably explain what the game is.
Okay. In the game, you're basically playing as Anonymous, the real-life hacker people. Except for you're against the government because, you know, fuck the government. It's always terrible. Even in real life. So, yay. The whole world has basically been put where you have a social credit system. Stuff people are worried about happening today, even though that's kind of silly to worry about. And you don't play as one specific character. You switch between a few of them. But the first one you play as is James, the son of, like, the ruler of the world right now or some shit, and he's been flagged for not having enough social credits because he doesn't post every second of every day of his life to social media so that the government can keep track of him. So therefore he's bad, he's naughty, and they need to get rid of him. So the cops come in to arrest him because woohoo. And he is also a hacker. They don't know it yet, but he's apparently a fairly well-known hacker, and he gets help out of the situation by the Liberated, a hacker group that wants to get rid of the social credit system. They want to get rid of the constant surveillance by the government, et cetera, et cetera. And they go about it by killing cops and blowing shit up. So, you know, fun. and yeah, each little comic book takes about an hour to three. They're not particularly long. It really depends on how much you suck at it. And if you die, lots of times you'll just respawn at just a little bit earlier than where you died. Other times that character just fucking dies and you suck. time to continue on as though they're dead. And the comic actually changes when that happens.
Oh.
Yeah. There's not too many spots where you can just die, sadly. You can also make different choices in the game. Like, one of the first choices is you can, as James, you can either run away from the cops or just peacefully surrender. The thing is, you're going to get caught either way, but one of those things adds more gameplay to it because you get to actually run away from the cops.
You spoiled that decision.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a few others that are like that, but most of them end up with it happening whether you tried to stop it or not, whatever the choice is. They both kind of lead to the same fucking thing, unless they're a choice that gets your character killed because you suck. this game does have a lot of the, what the fuck are they called? where you have to push buttons and they're timed.
Quick time events.
Yes, that. It is very heavy with those. Most of them aren't particularly hard, but the ones where your character can die, they make it to where it is damn near impossible to succeed at keeping your character alive. There's an achievement for keeping James alive in one area, and it took me like an hour to get through, I think, 3 or 4 button prompts.
Wow.
Because the last one moved so fast, I couldn't push the button quick enough.
Wow.
It was infuriating. But yeah, that's really what it is. They're fighting a losing battle and they know it. I mean, they know people don't want change. Even if it make their lives better, people are lazy and stupid, you know, just like real life.
Yeah.
And they'd rather sit with people watching everything they do and say, which could get them in trouble with the police, and get them thrown in jail or killed or whatever, rather than change and have a better life, because then they won't have the security in knowing that there's some dickbag behind a desk who might just be pissed off that day and decide, well, let's just ruin this person's life because I can. You know, kind of how the government runs right now.
God. No social commentary on this episode. The game's $20. What do you think?
I liked it. I think it's a good game. It's fun. The art style is really cool. I enjoyed it. I'm totally for it.
Cool. Percocets are kicking in. Next game to talk about is Mococo X, developed and published by Nisu. Released April 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $11.49. Nostalgic arcade gameplay remastered, conquer the bigger portion of the screen and save the unlucky girls from the various absurd troublemakers. Purnell, you covered this one on the Switch. Give us a quick primer on what the gameplay is in this.
Okay, so the gameplay in this consists of 8 different girls, which in themselves is a set of stages totaling 4. And the way it breaks down is on each level, like there's 4 levels per girl. The first 3 levels, you are tasked with dealing with an enemy adversary that is supposedly trying to attack the girl. You don't really know how they're doing that. It's just that they are. But that's just the excuse to get you into the gameplay phase of the game, which is very similar. It is the game Kix, Q-I-X, if you played it back in the 90s or 80s even. But if you haven't, the idea is that you're on a rectangular board and your ship drives along the outside of this board. Inside of the board, there are a bunch of floating enemies that are firing bullets at you, bouncing off the walls, yada, yada, yada. And
a lot of people who emulate might know the gameplay style is Gal's Panic.
Oh, there we go. So Gal's Panic, including the girls part too. So there it is. That's probably, I didn't even realize that already existed too.
This is only T-rated.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Gal's Panic is not?
Gal's Panic on arcade, they had everything.
Boom. Yeah.
At least on the versions I played.
So it was a better version of this game. Okay.
Literally. But admittedly, this is good for like sales of people who can't play those because of age restrictions and stuff.
It's good for people on Xbox because they haven't released any games like this on Xbox aside from Kix Plus on the 360.
I didn't even finish describing the game.
No, I know.
So,
tangents, like I said, yay.
Yeah, you took my mantle.
I try.
So, there's a rectangle, or rather a square board, and you're flying around the outside. At any point, you want to drive your ship into this space and try to form rectangular or square, you know, like encasements. So you could either say fly up and go all the way to the top of the board, thereby making one ginormous rectangle, or you can turn left and then make a square. Or you can even make a square shape inside of it by just like making an enclosed space while still inside the square. If you make that happen, you chop off that section of the board, get a chunk of points, kill any enemies or collect any power-ups that are in the space you cleared, and you will reveal a section of the photo behind the board. Your overall goal is to clear 70% or more of the board.
Well, it depends on the difficulty you pick. I think it's 70 on easy, 75 on medium, and or no, 72.50 on medium and 75 on hard. I think it is.
I've always usually ended up getting around like 80%, and I was like, I feel like speculation, but I just like rounded down to 70.
What's your best? What was the best you did?
My best on like one of the early levels, I got like 86.
Nice.
And that's hard to do, honestly.
I broke 90.
I hate you.
I told you I love these games. I'm so excited we got one on Xbox.
It is a fun game, yeah, because like I remember, well, I forgot, this is your impression of it, but that's pretty much the gameplay. The first three levels on each girl is an individual enemy type, and in the final stage, all three of the previous enemy types gang up on you on the same level, thereby making it a pain in the ass. And that's pretty much the ramp of the game. And at the end of a level, you'll pretty much get a full four screen, like, I guess, narrative, if you can call it that, of the girl from distress to rescue. And it's like, yay, you did a good job. And then they'll also reveal like a cinema bit from the overarching story the game has. It's total malarkey, so don't look at it like you're going to get some kind of cohesive plot. It's just weird shit about Makoko. It's an actual tangible thing. What do you think of the game?
I love it. I really enjoy the fact that the higher difficulties actually give you score multipliers. And you share the same leaderboard. So the people at the top of the leaderboard are the people who are really getting it done. I found myself on medium sitting around like the 30s and 40s. They show a top 100 on the screen after every level. So it's cool to see where you line up. The gameplay, like I said, it's kicks. It's Gal's Panic. It's finally on Xbox. We finally get one of these. Normally they're more mature with nudity. So this being T rated, you're going to find fan service, but you're not going to get any outright nudity in this. But
which is a good thing for certain respects. I know Aki's like, you're a crazy bastard, but you got to understand, some people can't do the nudity. They'll go into shock.
Yeah, like Microsoft, they cry about nudity. So, Microsoft, loosen up your restrictions so we can get more games on Xbox. And while this one is here, I say Makoko X is a buy it for $11.49.
Ooh, that's some meaty praise. And honestly, I agreed with that on the previous episode for it. I think it's a fun game. As long as you're not bothered by the whole girls bit, the game. And also, just got to point out there, of course, my thought was that the voices for the enemies are really annoying, but I believe you could turn that off. And as long as you can do that, and that's a personal opinion. Somebody else might play the game and go, ooh, these are really great voices. But good game, worth a buy.
I was playing it with the TV muted, and I had Twitch playing Rock Band, so that's the soundtrack I had for it.
You'll hear guys being like, I'm neurotic. I'm here from space. Woof, woof, woof. I'm a dog. Like, it's like, why is this the thing? Who sat there and said, you know, it'd be great if this gyroscopic image thought it was a dog and it ran around the board barking all the time while also speaking like a human and a robot. Like why?
Jeez. All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Flower Shop Summer in Fairbrook, developed by Winter Wolves. Wow, that's a hard one to do. Winter Wolves. Holy shit, my mouth.
Save the
Pernell, say Winter Wolves for me.
Winter Wolves.
There you go. Published by Radleika Games. Released April 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. Take control of Steve as he spends a summer in Fairbrook, working on the farm, making new friends, and maintaining old relationships. You can raise and sell your own crops, spend time with local girls, and schedule activities for your week in advance. Will Steve become a good, responsible farmer, find love, or both? Aki, what happened?
Well, you play as Steve, and he is a useless fuck. he is a go-nowhere, do-nothing type college student, you know, the one who doesn't bother studying or anything because he just wants to be a useless fuck for the rest of his life. And his girlfriend gets fucking tired of it, so she dumps his little bitch ass, and then his dad decides to pile on top of that by telling him, hey, you're fucking worthless, so I'm sending you to your uncle, and maybe he can make you not a piece of shit. Woo! Newsflash, you're a piece of shit. So
you have a way with words, Aki.
I know, right?
You're a piece of shit.
So throughout this, you end up obviously losing your girlfriend, Jill. And then you go down to the middle of bumfuck nowhere in Farmville, basically. And you meet three other girls. And you have to work at your uncle's. Well, I guess you don't technically have to do a goddamn thing on your uncle's farm. Because all of the game, for the most part, is fairly fucking optional. You can choose to schmooze up to all four of the girls, which is suggested, and to work on the farm a little bit. And it's really just when you hang out with a girl, sometimes you'll have a choice between one or two, three things you can say to them. Lots of times it's just, oh, you spent time with the girl. Now it flips to the next day. Because every day you choose what you do for that week. And each day you wake up in the morning, you do some farming, or you can choose to skip it because fuck it. And you will have chosen one of X amount of things to do. One of them is going jogging with one of the girls, one's staying at home, which has you interact with your ex on the phone because you're a cuck. And then there's one for going to the library to hit on the older lady. There's one for going to the flower shop and hitting on the bipolar girl that lives and works there. And then there's also, you know, you get to rest because when you go jogging or work on your farm, you lose health. And the more health you have, the more stats you get from hanging out with each of the girls. You get coolness, culture, determination. What the fuck's the last one?
My coolness is off the charts.
No, it's not. And romance. Those are the four that you get to level up. And they're split in between two. And by that I mean, you know, one girl will give you coolness and another will give you determination, but in order to end up with that girl, you have to have the other stat. So, like, Jill gives you cool, I believe, and the jogging girl gives you the determination. In order to get with Jill, you have to have a lot of determination, which you get by hanging out with the jogging girl. And vice versa.
Like that Mr. Coolness is hanging out in chat, so.
Oh, God.
They know all about coolness. What are the odds that Mr. Coolness would be in a game in chat when we're talking about a game with one of the stats being coolness?
I just shouldn't have mentioned the stats. Okay, that's all I've learned today. Never mention stats. All right, thank you.
I'm on Percocet. Fuck you.
Not an excuse.
Like barely holding it together right now.
Because the Percocet should be what's holding you together, nonchalantly.
Basically, yeah.
But each day you choose one of those things to do, and obviously to rest. When you rest, you get more stats because your health is closer to max. You want to try and get it max and keep it max so you get the most amount of stats for hanging out with any of these women. And here's the thing the game doesn't tell you, but everyone should know before they buy the game and start working on trying to bang one of these ladies. If you make $1,000 or more, which is super easy to do, it locks you out of being able to get with any of these women. Ever. Period. No matter what. You
why?
Can be penniless. I don't know. The game, it just does that. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. So you cannot be a good farmer and have a relationship, because the game outright dictates no romance if you may ever make above $1,000. On my first playthrough, I thought you just couldn't have $1,000 when you ended the game. I thought you had to have less than $1,000 because I looked up a walkthrough. No, if you ever make $1,000 or more, you are fucked. And on my first playthrough, I had made well over $3,000. It was not particularly difficult. It's actually pathetically easy to do. Suggestion, make up to like $900 and then set up stuff to where you can just click and harvest things for over $1,000 in one go, and leave it just sitting there until damn near the end of the game, because there's an achievement for getting a romance with each of the girls, and you can set that up in one playthrough as well. That it's really easy to do, to where you can just spend like the last week or two just getting with the stats for one girl at the end, and just be like, okay, I've hung out with this other girl a few times, and now I hang out with her a couple times, and now voila, now she wants me, and it ends good. You can do that with all four of the girls in one single playthrough. Very easy. And there's also an achievement for being a great farmer, which means ending the game with over $1,000 in actual funds that you have on person, which will lock you out of all relationships in the game, which is stupid. I would think any of these girls would be like, oh, yeah, you have money. Let's get together even more. Why do they want some broke motherfucker? I don't get it. But yeah,
yeah, so sounds like a perfect world.
Yeah. It's not particularly it's not particularly difficult. It's not that in depth. The girls are interesting. There's the librarian girl, and you already know everything about her from me just saying that, because the stereotype is the stereotype. There's the sporty girl. You already know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the bipolar girl. You already know what I'm talking about. And then there's the basically the I want to be a doctor or a lawyer ex-girlfriend. And now you know everything about her you need to know, because they are all perfect stereotypes of exactly what you think of when you think of those people. It's fantastic.
Nice. Sounds like you enjoyed your time in Fairbrook.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
$10 worth it?
Yeah, I think so. It's not treading any new ground. It's not some amazing game, but it's a decent game. $10, yeah, sure.
Cool beans, and it is on sale right now for $7.99. So pick it up while you can on the cheap.
Yeah, and it's fast. So any of you achievement hunting fuckers out there,
achievement hunting fuckers, easy. Like you're not one of them.
Hey, I never said I wasn't. I just know we're all fuckers, that's all.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, that is it for this episode. Pernell, thank you so much for coming and hanging out and talking so that I didn't have to talk as much. Aki, thanks for being here and doing your thing. I guess thanks to Jacob for being a
You don't need to thank Jacob. He's not worth
that. He does the tweets. Effort. That's worth thanking him for.
He occasionally does the tweets.
Yeah.
At least he does better with that than he does with the fucking Facebook.
I am so given. I told him to just give up on Facebook. I'm like, don't even bother with the updates anymore. Just stick to the shit posts and news, and just like, don't even, if a good episode happens, share it. But this whole catch up and do 10 episodes in a span of a day and then nothing for 8 months. Like, anyway. Music, gonna play some more Mustin, because I played him on the last episode, and I'm gonna play some more of him tonight.
Kinky Bananas.
Goddamn right. Does anyone have any final... Pernell, we'll give you the final word, since you are a special Jacob's guest tonight. Useless.
You really can't, because she just said Kinky Bananas, and there's nothing stopping that.
I mean, Jacob's Useless did pretty good at topping that. But...
I can't say that about Jacob. He appreciates me.
Well, that doesn't mean he's useful.
Damn.